You can go ahead and be seated. Today, on top of being Memorial Day weekend in church history, is also Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is a day that churches commemorate around the world. It's the first time, at least in my memory, that we have set aside an entire Sunday and called it Pentecost Sunday. But today will be about the Holy Spirit, and hopefully it's an encouraging message. But next week, we're starting our summer series. It'll be most of the summer. We've been working on it for months, and we're very excited. The series is called Power in the Name. Power in the Name. So what we're going to do is every single week, we're going to go through one of the Old Testament names of God, the Jehovah name. So Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh. And each week we're going to break down one of those names, where it came from and what it means for us today. Because oftentimes we have a relationship with God, but we don't know the true nature of the God we have relationship with. We don't know the true nature of the God we're praying to. So God is a healer? Well, yes. How do we know that? Because he is Jehovah Rapha. And so we're going to go into those different names. And next week, we're starting with Jehovah Jireh. And so I would love for you to be here. I'll be kicking off the series, and we will be going through the summer. You guys excited for that? I think it's going to be pretty awesome. So, today is about the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit descended. And I'll go into a lot of explanation. But before I go into the sermon, I have read, this is one of the topics that I've studied the most of any topic, because there's so much confusion out there about the Holy Spirit. It just became one of the greatest passions of mine. And so I've read at least 30 books on the Holy Spirit, and these two books are by far my favorite. And so I wanted to recommend these to you if you are at all interested in doing a little bit deeper dive into the Holy Spirit. R.T. Kendall's book, Holy Fire, to me, I guess it would be a little bit more academic. It's one of those things where you might read a few pages and need to go back and read them again, kind of thing. But it is, the most well-rounded, little bit more academic book on the Holy Spirit I've ever read. So do that. The Counselor is in the top three books I have ever read in my entire life by A.W. Tozer. Not just books on the Holy Spirit, but any book I have ever read in the top three. It's also the shortest book, one of the shortest books I've ever read. Can I get an amen? All right. So here's what's so amazing. If I could meet with A.W. Tozer, I'd be like, can we just think of another name for your book? Because The Counselor just doesn't do it justice. It's about the Holy Spirit, but a full just illustrative display. He's just a master writer. I finished that book. I finished A.W. Tozer's book, tears streaming down my face in my 20s. And it was the first time I'd ever read something, closed something, listened to something, shut the book, and thought, I now understand. I understand. So if you're looking for that kind of a read, grab A.W. Tozer's book, The Counselor. Hopefully that will help. So what is the day of Pentecost? The day of Pentecost we find in Acts chapter 2, and it is the day where the believers are in the upper room waiting on the promised Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about. Jesus had already been crucified, resurrected, and ascended. They were waiting. Pentecost, that word, comes from the Greek word for 50th, because it occurs on the 50th day after Passover. So on the 50th day. Pentecost was not just named that after the Holy Spirit fell. That specific time, the nations, the Jewish people from the nations were gathered in Jerusalem because Pentecost was already a festival and Jewish holiday that was widely celebrated. It was one of the pilgrimage festivals where people came into Jerusalem. But for us today, in the New Testament era, we know it as the day the Holy Spirit fell in that room. David Wilkerson, the great 20th century preacher and pastor, said this about Pentecost. When you strip it of everything else, Pentecost stands for power and life. That's what came into the church when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. So I know in this room, I've preached on the Holy Spirit probably 5 or 6 times in the last year, year and a half, explicitly, entire sermons. And so I would love for you at any time, if you don't feel like I'm handling all the theological nuances, you can go to our YouTube channel and check those sermons out. But I know there's a lot of different beliefs about this. But today, I want all of us to kind of re-engage our minds today and give the Holy Spirit another look and to really try to understand him on a deeper level. So at this church, and the vast majority of Christian churches, if they consider themselves Christian churches, we would believe that there is salvation, and salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, right? By faith, through grace, and what he did on the cross. So the work of the cross is our means of salvation, period. We can't work toward it. It's because of what he did. We call on his name and we're saved. Like we had in our service today, there were water baptisms. We are commanded to be water baptized, and that is an outward symbol. It's not salvation in itself, but it's an outward symbol of what happens on the inside when we are saved. The old is gone, the new has come. It's not only a symbol, it's also a declaration to the world around us. The old person is gone and I am a new person, and this is my church family, and this is the life I am going to live. So there is salvation, there is baptism, but all four of the Gospels, the Old Testament, Jesus himself, all point to another baptism. Not a water baptism, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting when you look in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 3, for example, John the Baptist is having a conversation with people, and some people are confused about who he is in accordance to Jesus. And he says, no. My baptism and my water baptism is the baptism of repentance, but there is one who is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Other translations say the Holy Spirit and power. So John the Baptist, way back at the beginning of the Gospels in Matthew 3, knew that there was another baptism beyond water baptism. There was something we were going to need that Jesus himself was going to give us and point to. Then you go to John chapter 14. Jesus is well into his ministry, meeting with his disciples, and they're talking about the wonders that he has done. And he tells them in John 14, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me is going to do the works I've been doing. They're going to do the works I've been doing. But what's amazing is you will even do greater works than these. And then he gives us the why and the when. The why and the when. Because I am going to the Father. Why? If I'm one of those disciples, I'm saying, Jesus, you're telling us we're gonna have more power than you because you're leaving us? How does that make sense? Because you're going back to the Father? So the whole time in ministry, this isn't making a lot of sense to them. And then we jump to when Jesus is about to go back to the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. What is Jesus telling them? All of a sudden, he's talking about leaving, and they might be wondering, is this the time when he's going back? We don't want him to go to the Father. But he also said, we're going to do greater things than him when he does. Acts 1, 4, he says, hey, I'm sending one to you. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Helper comes, until the Holy Spirit comes to give you power. Do not leave Jerusalem. They're probably thinking, he already gave the Great Commission, and he's saying, therefore, go into all of the world and all this stuff. So they're thinking Jesus is about to say, go. And he says, I know I just said go, but actually what I meant was stay until it's time to go. So he says, stay until the Holy Spirit comes. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. I feel like way too many Christians, one of the greatest problems we have in our churches, in the West especially, is that we have, quote unquote, left Jerusalem without the Holy Spirit. We are trying to run churches without the Holy Spirit, our individual lives and families and marriages and raising our kids without the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I know I said go, but I also said wait until you have the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we go to Acts 1:8. Jesus is about to ascend. He's about to go back to the Father. And he says, and you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So he's told them to wait, and then he ascends, and they're waiting on this power. But they don't feel very, very powerful. The Romans are hunting them down. The Jewish leaders are hunting them down, and they're waiting in this upper room. And then on the 50th day, something happens. I'm gonna read to you the entire account of the day of Pentecost. So I know it's a lot of scripture up front, but that's what everything hangs on. So I'm gonna read 18 verses from the day of Pentecost, and I want you to hang with me. It'll be on the screen behind me. Acts 2, 1 through 18. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues or languages." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Guys, if there's a wine out there that makes us bilingual, I want to know about it, all right? "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning, and we are not even at an airport." Verse 16. "No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Thanks for letting me have fun. "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Amazing. That's the account of the day of Pentecost. You're the only service to clap after I read that, so that's why you're my favorite. Okay. So to understand the true significance and power of the day of Pentecost, we need to understand three things. To understand the true significance and power of the day of Pentecost, we need to understand, number one, the nature of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who are we praying to when we are talking to the Holy Spirit? Who is this guy? Is he God? First of all, when we look at the nature, we have to understand that he is a person. The doctrine and idea of the person of the Holy Spirit is a very, very important thing for us to understand and also believe as true. He is not an it. He is not a thing. He is not a mystical fog or just fire. The Holy Spirit is a he. He is a person. Sometimes what happens is if we forget that he's a person like Jesus, when we pray to Jesus, we think Jesus is a person. He's also God, right? He is the person of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Holy Spirit. But if we forget that, what happens is we will start praying to the Holy Spirit and we're like imagining some kind of ghost or mist or something out there, and he's a person. You know, Mandy and I dated long distance all the way up until 3 months before our wedding. And the entire relationship was long distance. She lived in Alabama, I lived in Albuquerque. That's tough if you've ever been in a long distance relationship. When you see each other in person, you're like, this is a real person. You love the person, the love grows. Then you start talking on the phone, you still love the person, the love is growing. But then over time, you start thinking, will she even remember how I look? The next time she sees me, is she gonna be like, that is not how I remember you looking. We're done. You know, am I going to remember? You kind of start thinking, do you ever do that? Like with somebody starts to like almost forget what their face looks like. Am I weird? And because when it's long distance and they're not in person, it kind of starts becoming a figment of your imagination that you talk to. But then when you see each other in person again, you go, oh yeah, this is who you are as an in-person person. And that's exactly how it is with the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, it's not that we have necessarily broken our relationship with the Holy Spirit, but we have allowed our prayer life to get a little bit mystical or thinking the Holy Spirit is more of an it than a him. And I think today, as we commemorate the day of Pentecost, we could bring our attention back to the Holy Spirit as a person, the person of the Holy Spirit that we can have a personal relationship with. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is the third member of the Trinity. We know he's a person that has, because he has personal attributes. We look in the Bible, he teaches, guides, comforts, and intercedes. He has emotions, an intellect, and a will. There's scripture references for all of these things. He speaks to us. He's not an it, he's a he. He was sinned against and lied to. You can only sin against a person, lie to a person. And I the list could go on and on and on, but it's important for us to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Number two, he is God. He is God. How do we know he's God? We go to scripture and he has spoken of God and is identified with the title of Jehovah God. There's one scripture reference, but there are multiple. The Christian who is indwelt by the Spirit is indwelt by God, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16. He is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, and eternal. He does what only God can do, such as creating things, regenerating, and sanctifying, according to John 3:6 and 2 Thessalonians 2:13. He is God. But there are mainstream churches and denominations that somehow over time, they'll tell you they believe in the Trinity, but it is God the Father and Jesus that's taught on, and they will mention the Holy Spirit, but not treat the Holy Spirit as God. Because the Holy Spirit is not part of the Trinity. He is not God that ended at the era of the New Testament. If he was God then, he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Because it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the nature of the Holy Spirit, I was talking with Mandy about this sermon ahead of time, and she said, I feel like this could be like a 5-week series. And I was like, I know, I should have done a 5-week series. I could go into so much about the person of the Holy Spirit and also the fact that he is God, but I'm gonna move on to point number two. To understand the true significance and power of the day of Pentecost, we need to understand number two, the sovereign artistry of the Holy Spirit. I'll explain what I mean. The sovereign artistry of the Holy Spirit. When I was preparing for this message and other messages on the Holy Spirit, what's so amazing about the Bible in general, but how the Holy Spirit works through the Old Testament, New Testament, the books of the Bible. The Bible is not just a compilation of individual books that are separate from every other book in the Bible. It's not just a story. It is the Word of God that is intricately woven together over time and eternity that perfectly fits together. And we might want to ask the question, why did the Holy Spirit wait to descend until the day of Pentecost? Why? Jesus ascends and he says, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Why didn't the Holy Spirit come the next day? Why did the Holy Spirit come in 100 days or 55 days? Why did the Holy Spirit come on the 50th day after Passover? What was so significant about that day? And like I mentioned, it was already a Jewish festival. In the Old Testament, Pentecost was more known as Shavuot or the Festival of Weeks or the Festival of First Harvest. It goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. So they had the Passover, which I'll explain. Then they had Shavuot or the Feast of Weeks or the Festival of Weeks and the Festival of First Harvest or Pentecost. They were all one and the same festival, same time with different names. So you have Passover, 50 days later, Shavuot, right? And then we move into the future in the New Testament, and we have the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. So there's Passover, 50 days, Shavuot. Are you guys with me? Going all the way back. So first of all, what's Passover? Just a quick refresher. What's Passover? Passover goes back to the book of Exodus. The Israelites are in captivity in Egypt. They're slaves in Egypt. It's the story where God appears to Moses in the burning bush, Moses, and he says, go to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. Pharaoh says no. Moses says yes. Pharaoh says no. Moses says yes. You've seen the prince of Egypt. Okay, so then all of a sudden, after 9 plagues, God says, all right, I'm done with this. He meets with Moses and says, I'm going to send my death angel, and the death angel is going to kill every firstborn son in the land. He does not tell Moses he's going to kill every firstborn Egyptian, every firstborn son, period. He says, but those who take the blood of a lamb and put it above the doorpost will experience my salvation, and the death angel will pass over their home. So in accordance with that, the Passover feast and festival time was created to commemorate that a good God passed over, death passed over because of the blood of a lamb, okay? 50 days after the first Passover. You wanna know what happens in the Bible chronologically? to the day, 50 days. Anybody? No? It is when Moses descends Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. 50 days. This is also the time when he descends that the festivals start to be commemorated. So Moses descends with the Ten Commandments, the law of God, written on stone. The fiery mountain, Moses descends out down the mountain with the law of God for the people. So here's what this means. Up until that time, there were all the different tribes of Israel, but they had been in captivity. So now, for the first time ever, they're living in freedom, and all the different tribes have come together under one law and one nation of Israel. So when he descends from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, it is the beginning of the nation of Israel, and then the festival of weeks and Pentecost and Shavuot begins. You following me so far? So what's interesting about this, when you look at the Passover in the Old Testament, remember Jesus said in the New Testament, I didn't come to do away with the law. I didn't come to do away with the old covenant, the Old Testament. I came to fulfill it. Everything in the New Testament doesn't do away with the Old Testament. It fulfills it. The Passover, death passes over the house with the blood of the lamb. It is not a coincidence that Jesus died on the eve of Passover, Jewish Passover. The blood of the Lamb of God was being spilled, and death would eternally pass over every human being that would call on the name of Jesus. The timing was perfect. It used to be an actual lamb. Now it's the Lamb of God. And 50 days after the blood of the lamb was spilled, Moses didn't, the New Testament didn't descend from the fiery mountain with the law written on stone, but the Holy Spirit descends in the form of fire to write the law of grace and truth on our hearts. And now back then, it was the beginning of the nation of God, the citizens of the nation of Israel. In the New Testament, Pentecost was the beginning of the new nation, citizens of heaven called to all nations. You see how it's the fulfillment of everything from the Old Testament. The reason why I wrote this point like I did, the Holy Spirit is a sovereign artist. Everything has meaning. That's why you can study the Bible and never get bored. The deeper you go, the more you don't know, and the more you are revealed, what more is revealed to you through the Holy Spirit and revelation. It's amazing. All of these things are connected. We look into the Old Testament, and one of the aspects of Shavuot was the first harvest, the first fruits. Remember when Jesus met with his disciples in the New Testament, and he says, lift your eyes. The harvest is plentiful. Remember what he says next? But the workers are few. And then he just moves on. He doesn't solve the problem. You want to know why? Because he was sending one who would. The Old Testament, Pentecost, was about the wheat harvest and the barley harvest. In the New Testament, it wasn't about crops. The Holy Spirit, before the Holy Spirit came to the upper room, the early believers, their eyes were down in fear and in chaos and in depression and isolation. But when the Holy Spirit comes, their eyes are lifted and they see the harvest and now realize they are the workers. Peter preaches that day and 3,000 people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the harvest began. Revival began. Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message were baptized that day, and about 3,000 were added to their number. Amazing. Amazing. You guys still with me today? All right. The third point, to understand the true significance and power of the day of Pentecost, we need to understand number three, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is where the rubber hits the road. And this is where the rubber hit the road for me in my journey with the Holy Spirit over my life. Because you can study about the Holy Spirit all you want, and we can acknowledge truths, say amen to truths, say that's true. But how does the truth of the Holy Spirit come alive and true in your own life? How do we operate in this kind of power? Well, say we believe that the Holy Spirit is alive for today, the gifts that he offers are alive for today, but man, it sure doesn't feel like it when you look around at society. Where is this power? How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the word indwell is used, or dwell, indwell, or filled is used a lot in our English Bibles as one of the best translations for what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's what dictionary.com, how it defines indwell. No, remember, this is not a Bible dictionary. This is dictionary.com. This is one of the ways. To be permanently present in someone's soul or mind, possess spiritually, the Holy Spirit descended to indwell the believers. That's the example it used in dictionary.com, one of them. To indwell, possess. So when you research this stuff, truly the best English word to wrap around the original language is probably not fill. Indwell is pretty good, but it really should probably be the word possess. But if I started my sermon saying, guys, by the end of today, I will teach you how to learn how to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. You guys be like, we're gonna find another church because I don't know what that means, you know? Why? Because the word possession or possess is owned in society today, is owned by evil. One of the most frustrating things to me about Satan is he will hijack symbols, words that are godly, good, that the Bible talks about. Because truly the best English word for us to wrap our minds around what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be possessed by the Holy Spirit, but not like possessed by the Holy Spirit, but to be filled, to be owned, to be fully in, and us fully in him, possessed by the Holy Spirit. But when Satan hijacks it, the moment I say possessed, you think of The Exorcist. And that's rated R. I'm kidding. You think of The Exorcist. We think of craziness. Why? Because Satan's sole role in our lives is to steal, kill, destroy, distort, counterfeit, and create fear in our lives. So what happens is we use a cute word like, I'm filled. We're like, no, what does that even mean? I'm filled. When it really needs to be a fully encompassing of the Holy Spirit, to where when I'm at the end of everything I can do, there's a power inside of me, all of me, that can do what I cannot do, that can have hope when I cannot have hope, that can have joy when I cannot have joy, that can operate in supernatural gifts when I'm at the end of my own talent. And that's what we need in our lives. It's not a cutesy filling. The best example I can give, the best analogy I can give is, and when someone comes to your house, like my in-laws came last week for my son's graduation. They're amazing. You know, when they came, they stayed in a guest room. And, you know, and it's, you know, they know when they come, if they're in the guest room, they're more than welcome in our house. They're more than welcome in the guest room. We even say, make yourself at home. Did you know this? Every time you've ever told someone to make themselves at home, you never meant it. Because if someone ever made themselves at home in your home, you go into the room and tell your spouse, they are making themselves at home. You know, they're putting their feet up, whatever it might be. So my in-laws are great. You know, but here's what's tricky. They're in a guest room. But then when it's time for them to go home, they leave my home and they fly back to Kentucky and go home. Why? Because my home is not their home. They just occupied a space in my home. And that's what we do with the Holy Spirit. We say, I know the Bible calls this the temple of the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit, this is still my temple. You can have a room, but you can't have the whole house. So when we are saved, because we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. But Jesus even said, we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Paul goes to other believers. They're already believers. And he says, were you filled with the Holy Spirit when you believed? So he's saying there's something beyond just believing. So when we believe, we are filled with the Holy Spirit comes into our house. But then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is our own day of Pentecost, where we say, hey, you're not only welcome in my house, I'm actually turning over the keys to you. This is no longer my house that you're in. This is your house, and I want to fall under you. That's how people can actually be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we'll pray the prayer, fill me, Lord, but don't change who I'm dating. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit, but I still want to keep this job and do exactly what I want to do. Fill me, Holy Spirit, but I that addiction, I kind of still like it. So don't completely deliver me of that. Hey, fill me, Holy Spirit, but I still want to do what I do on Friday nights and Saturday nights. Fill me, Holy Spirit. What we're saying is you're welcome to stay every once in a while, but don't be God. Wow. Just be my guest. And that's not how the Holy Spirit works. If we want to be revolutionized by the Holy Spirit, if we want personal revival, church revival, societal revival, we need to hand over the keys. Romans 8, 9 through 11 says, but you are not carnal, but spiritual, if the Spirit of God, what finds a home within you? You cannot indeed be a Christian at all unless you have something of the Holy Spirit in you. Once the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives within you, he will, by the same Spirit, bring to your whole being new strength and vitality. Only when we give him the keys can he be in us what he wants us to be. You may have the Holy Spirit through salvation, but does the Holy Spirit have you through Pentecost? Have you given him the keys to the whole house? Remember, Jesus said, don't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm leaving you physically, and you can't do anything until you have me spiritually. I don't want you to live, Jesus is saying, I don't want you to live in a world where you don't have me. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Jesus is saying, I'm leaving in body, but the Spirit is coming. Now you had me, you 12 had me, Jesus is saying, now the entire world can have me through the Spirit. He didn't want to leave us alone. But so many of us are living lives alone because we haven't had our day of Pentecost. Some of us say, well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit is for me. I just don't know. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. He's saying, every one of you, we all need the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, 17 through 19. Some of us think, well, I was filled one time a long time ago. It doesn't feel like it necessarily, but I don't know. It kind of just feels redundant if I go, yeah, I want to be filled because I think I was, and I don't know, but this is intriguing. Ephesians 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Stop getting drunk with wine, which leads to wild living. Here's the point. But keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, it's not just, oh, I got filled once, and then I'm gonna live life. Salvation, yep, that's once. But then Paul says, continually be filled. I don't know about you, I can't go a day. Every day, Holy Spirit, fill me. And when I say fill, I mean possess. When I say fill, I mean indwell. Yeah. I mean not just fill me, but have me. Holy Spirit, I know me. Every human's default is to go backwards. We go toward destruction. Look at society. It doesn't matter who we elect, who we nominate, what happens, what the solutions are. This place is deteriorating because we by default go backward. But those who are filled with the Spirit, the Spirit's natural trajectory is not backward. It is wholeness and forward. That's why Jesus is saying, let's revolutionize the world, bring renewal, show people heaven now, that they don't have to wait to have it one day. They can have glimpses of it now, but it all starts with being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go backwards, but only through the Spirit can I go forward. We have to have the Spirit. What happens when we fully surrender to the Holy Spirit? What happens? You know, it's like, you know, I'm throwing around these words and stuff, and so it's like, well, should I be nervous? You know, I remember being little and, you know, because everybody's okay with the word Pentecost. You add an A-L on the end of that, people start to get a little funky, right? I've had people ask me before, is this a Pentecostal church? And I go, well, completely depends on what you mean by that word. The answer is yes, in the sense, in the definition of we believe what happened at Pentecost is true, and we believe it is still available for people today. So yes, but we also believe that the Bible gives parameters on how those things should operate, and we are subject to the word of God. And that's okay, and that's good too. When I was little, I remember we were at a church camp, and there was an altar call, a response to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I had been in some pretty interesting environments as a little kid, and I had watched people, you know, and you know, different personalities with the Holy Spirit, but I had watched people do some pretty crazy things in the name of the Holy Spirit. And I remember before I started praying, I was like, Holy Spirit, I really want to be filled by you, but please don't make me look like a weirdo. Like I was so nervous at like being filled with the Holy Spirit. I was going to start just like going crazy, you know? That's not who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. And I remember being 7 years old at a kids camp, and I got down on my knees at the end of that service, and I lifted my hands and I prayed, Holy Spirit, fill me. And 7 years old, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come over me. And back then, people have different manifestations. Back then, I spoke in tongues at 7 years old. And let me tell you, it was the most real experience of my entire life. And I think kids are so in tune with the Spirit. So many kids can be filled with the Spirit, I think even faster than adults or more aware of it than adults, because they haven't learned yet that God should be someone that we should get things from rather than just wanting him. And so at a certain age, you start to view God like that. But at 7 years old, I didn't want something from God. I just wanted God. And I think that's where we've got to get to when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can do something for me, although he will. I want the Holy Spirit because I want the Holy Spirit. I need the fullness of everything God has for me. I want relationship with God to the fullest extent. So what happens when we fully surrender? I'm gonna read very quickly in closing 10 things. And I want you to take pictures of these as I read them. As the Holy Spirit indwells the life of a believer, if you want to take pictures, it's like a command, like take pictures. If you want to, you can. Because I'm gonna go quickly. As the Holy Spirit indwells, that sounded mean in my head. I was like, I did not mean that mean. He brings life-changing results. Here they are. Number one, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit brings new life to a soul that is bound by sin. Are you bound by sin? Are you bound by addiction? You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to break the addiction of pornography and alcoholism and drugs. You need the Holy Spirit. Number two, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit confirms to the believer that he belongs to the Lord and is an heir of God and fellow heir with Christ. It's that confirmation in our spirit of I know who I am. The Holy Spirit brings identity that the world is scraping and clawing for right now and getting all wrong. Number three, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit unites the believer with Christ's universal church. When we are operating in the Holy Spirit as a person, as a body of the church, with other churches who are operating the Holy Spirit, we are all connected with one spirit and one kingdom on earth, building the kingdom of heaven. Number four, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit empowers the believer through spiritual gifts meant to build and bless the church. Spiritual gifts are exactly that. They are spiritual, supernatural gifts. They are not talent. They are not who you already are. The spiritual gift could go beyond something that you already have, but it is not a talent quiz that shows you who you are and what your spiritual gift is. It is a supernatural gift that solves natural problems on earth. No natural solutions are going to work on earth, but the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit will solve what's happening in our world. Number five, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit helps the believer understand and apply the scripture to his or her daily life. If you've ever read the Bible and it's just not going deep and you just can't, I don't understand it. And yes, get into Bible studies. There's practical things we need to learn, yes, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives real time revelation to where you can read something in scripture and tears can flow because you read and you go, I now know how much Jesus loves me. And it's not just a song I sing or something somebody says at church. I can feel and experience the love of Jesus because it's the Holy Spirit who brings revelation. Number six, the indwelling of the Spirit enriches the believer's prayer life. If prayer is dry and dull, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you words when you have no words. The Holy Spirit will pray on your behalf. The Holy Spirit will enhance your prayer life. Number seven, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit empowers the believer to live for Christ, to do his will. I know what the Bible says. I don't know. I always do bad. I always do wrong. I can't. Stop saying that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not about being good enough and checking every single box, but if obeying the word of God is something that we just keep falling and falling and falling and we just feel powerless, tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Number eight, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit gives evidence of new life by producing the fruit of the Spirit in a believer's life. There are far too many Christians who will think or say they have a salvation experience or maybe do have a salvation experience, but then the person they are later, 6 months later, 2 years later, 6 years later, is not that different than the person they were before they received Christ. What habits changed? Is the fruit of the Spirit there? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We grow in these things as we grow in God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the default is backwards, but the Holy Spirit's default is to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Are you different? Do you have the same patterns? Are you around the same people, the same things on weekends, the same substances, the same things? Or are you different? Are you different? You don't have to be perfect, but are you different? Number 9, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when grieved by the believer's sins convicts the believer to confess his or her sin to the Lord so that fellowship is restored. This is not talking about the loss of salvation. We don't walk around and all of a sudden like salvation falls out of our pocket or something. Salvation is sealed and strong and eternal. Salvation isn't broken, but our fellowship. And you know what I mean. You can be saved, but then get into a pattern of not walking with God and you can feel the fellowship with God broken. The Holy Spirit reunites the fellowship with God, and now you're in harmony. Those seasons where you just feel, I just don't know, is God even here? And I feel like giving up. I don't even want to go to church. The Christians said this, they did this, that person, all these things, and whatever. And you start kind of, but then through the power of the Holy Spirit, that fellowship is restored because he convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit does not pile on guilt, but he convicts of sin to bring restoration back to fellowship with God. We should crave the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not run from it. Crave the Holy Spirit to bring us back on track. And number 10, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit seals the believer unto the day of redemption so that the believer's arrival in the Lord's presence is guaranteed after this life. The Holy Spirit seals the believer. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, like I mentioned, we do receive the Holy Spirit. The seal of salvation is done by the Holy Spirit. But as the Holy Spirit indwells in us, and as we are filled with the Holy Spirit daily, the reality of that seal and our eternity grows stronger and stronger, and we know more resolute that one day I will be there. I'm doing the funeral for a man this week, one of my friends in the church, and right before he died, just a day or two before he passed away, I was talking to him, and I'm looking in his eyes. He is so resolute of where he will be. He said, I'm ready. When I close my eyes, I'm gonna see Jesus. So I am ready. I wanna have that. I wanna have the Holy Spirit inside of me where I'm tapped into eternity. I know there's a life beyond this one. So many churches and Christians, for some reason, have forgotten about the Holy Spirit. There's entire churches and denominations that pride themselves on not believing in the power of the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit is God, and he is, then God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit is for today. In fact, Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and it begins with, do not quench the Spirit. In the original language, what that means is, do not quench the Spirit. But entire churches and denominations and people are doing it. And I think Satan is having a heyday because the power that Jesus left to us, we are not tapping into. And we're looking around in our society and saying, where is God? What's happening? And God's saying, where are you? You left Jerusalem. You left Jerusalem. I think today we can have our own day of Pentecost. Tomorrow you can have your own day of Pentecost. Tuesday, Wednesday, you can have your own day of Pentecost. And I want us to end today by praying to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, what's so amazing about this is we don't have to do anything special. We don't have to even have people come down to the front. We can, but we're not today. I'm gonna have you stand. I'm gonna ask no one to leave unless it's an absolute emergency for the next 3 minutes. If everybody stand with me. If you're in here today and you're just thinking, just let this be a moment of reverence, but you're thinking, I need the Holy Spirit. I am exhausted. I'm burnt out on life. I don't know what to do. I feel powerless in my lack of peace. I feel powerless in my lack of joy. I feel powerless in my home with my kids. I feel powerless in my own walk with God. I look around at society and I feel powerless. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I wanna be filled, like Paul said, be continually filled. We're gonna be continually filled today. And in both of our services this morning and in this one, when I'm asking you if that's you, I'm gonna ask everyone just to put your hands out like this in a receiving posture. It's not anything to do with physically, but I think sometimes it's important to have a physical posture to mirror what we're doing on the inside with our spirit. So our spirit is opening up, and this all we're gonna say is come Holy Spirit. Now, theologically, we know the Holy Spirit's already here. We're not telling the Holy Spirit he can come now. What we're telling the Holy Spirit is we're aware that he's here now. Come, Holy Spirit. And we're just gonna pray that. Some of you may feel something right now, some of you may not. Today, this could be a day of Pentecost for you, or it could be tomorrow, the next day. But let's just pray that prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Fill this place. Make this your upper room. There are moms in this room, Holy Spirit, that need your wisdom and authority. There are moms in this room that have prayed and they no longer know what to pray for children who are lost. Give them your power, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. There are fathers in this room that need your power, Holy Spirit, to lead their homes, to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, to bring love, joy, and peace. Come, Holy Spirit, empower us to be bold and a witness where we go, to be a reflection of you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, empower us, unleash spiritual gifts in our lives, that there would be the gift of healing that would flow through this room, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, Jesus. Holy Spirit, as you come into our lives, as you fill us in this moment, let us be reminded of the love that Jesus has for us and what he did for us on the cross. That was for me. The Holy Spirit, you promised that you would make his love real. Make it real to us today, Holy Spirit. I've left Jerusalem and I need your power. Fill us today, Holy Spirit. Make this your upper room. Make our homes your upper room. Make our offices your upper room. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, we just thank you for today. I just pray that this would be a day of Pentecost for us, a spark of a new flame, a new fire, and passion for the Holy Spirit. I pray that you bless us today and empower us, and let us leave differently than we came in. We need your power. We thank you.